My man running the board is the Bill Cosby of MMA. Watch you drink, ladies and gentlemen. It is Michael Caine. What's going on, Caine?
What's up? Hey,
you already know, fam. I just wanted to say that. I don't care what context.
You already know, fam.
If anybody knows what the term fam means and uses it, just punch yourself in the balls and stop listening to my show.
Right. And get out there and find those Pokemon.
Yeah. I was going around trying to find those Pokemon today, too, but then I realized I didn't have my cell phone and my pants were around my ankles. So I had to explain that to the police. You know, it was weird. But other than that, man, what's been going on in your life, Caine?
Same old, man. Just working and living. More working than living, unfortunately. But, hey, we got a good treat last weekend with UFC 200. You want to hit the highlights of that? Let's talk about some things. What was your biggest – there were a couple of surprises, both before and during the fights. What was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise, honestly, is that Edgar looked really flat against Aldo. Like, that was my biggest surprise.
I semi-agree with you. Do you think it was more Edgar flat or Aldo sharper and counterpunching more?
I noticed
Edgar's strength is his footwork, in and out, and he does it so well. And I noticed after he was getting peppered for a while, I thought, what's his footwork? And I looked, and I checked, and he was still doing that. It's just Aldo was really crisp and connecting on him, coming and going, and I don't know, man. I was surprised in that he didn't win, but I don't know that he was flat, as I just think we may have seen one of the best Aldos we'd seen.
Aldo looked great, and the one thing I was really surprised about Aldo is the size difference. I don't remember him being that much bigger than Frankie when they fought last time. Aldo was noticeably bigger, noticeably faster. I mean, he didn't seem to, I mean, Frankie looked worse for wear, but there was no aw damn kind of moment where, you know, this fight might be over. I was just surprised that Frankie was just not able to get in on the takedown.
Like, he wasn't.
Just nowhere. I mean, Aldo was great. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think we saw the best Frankie. We might have, but we definitely saw a better Aldo. I mean, and it makes me kind of second guess, because if you look at how much bigger Connor was than Aldo, that was shocking, but seeing how much bigger Aldo was than Edgar, which I swear I don't remember him being that much bigger like that.
I don't either.
We'll wait for the drug test results to get back, see if he didn't grow 4 inches. I mean, those damn Mexican supplements. But I was surprised about that. That was a really, really big surprise. And then, of course, I mean, we all picked it wrong in Mark Hunt. I mean, he was, and that guy was flat.
Yeah. He was flat. I think, bear in mind, Lesnar isn't CM Punk. He's not just some clown coming over that's going to try MMA. He's got a world-class wrestling pedigree. He was a four-time All-American collegiate wrestler. Freak athlete.
Two-time national
champion.
Athlete.
Yeah.
Joined the NFL like on, you know, on a whim. Like, oh yeah, I think I'm going to go try out for the Vikings. He almost made the squad. He never played football, even in high school. He didn't play football. I mean, he's a freak athlete.
He is. I mean, so this isn't a guy who just came in and like I said, it's not CM Punk. He's got some legit combat skills and athletic skills. I knew that could happen, but no, I was definitely calling Hunt by knockout. And Hunt was flat. Hunt did look flat.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hate it when people say, not to take anything away from Lesnar, which means they're going to take something away from Lesnar. So let me just say, to take something away from Lesnar, Mark Hunt's flat. But Lesnar went out there, he stuck to the game plan, he took him down, he st- stayed chest to chest. I mean, there was not a lot. That Hart was never in any danger of getting finished. I mean, you guys
not
Savage
danger
Carrera.
Of getting finished. Yeah, but when Lesnar was had him in four quarters and was blasting him to the side of the head, had he had a little more time, you might have gotten a ref stoppage. Because I don't think Hunt was getting up from that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, but it was one of those. I was really surprised at how badly, you know, Hunt looked. I mean, he didn't come out with any aggression. He didn't. It was like he wasn't trying. You know, it wasn't like he was trying to line up any kicks or anything. I was really disappointed with him in that fight.
Right.
But hey, Lesnar. I mean, at the weigh-ins, looked like he looked more shredded than I've ever seen him before. And maybe that's the diverticulitis thing.
Yeah, he really did. He looked really, really lean. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, you know, a guy that has to cut down to 265, hard to call him lean, but relatively speaking, he really was, man.
And the other thing is they were saying that USADA drug tested him 5 times a week going into this fight. He got, so in the last 3 weeks, he got 15 drug tests.
Explain to me exactly what the exemption that he got entailed. It's not like he was exempt completely. They just allowed they allowed him levels a little bit higher than the others because it was short notice. What was the exception that he got or the exemption?
I was told at the beginning, like reading everything I'd read and talking to people I kind of sort of know, that because he was not in the, you know, he was not even entered into the UFC's pool of talent for months, that he was basically, he was going to get 90 days free and clear. And since the UFC is a private organization, they don't have to drug test all their athletes. They don't.
Right.
But once they make those athletes available, then the athletes get drug tested whenever, literally. And, but then I guess they just took the gloves off. I don't think he got any exemption. The only exemption he got was he didn't have to submit samples like right off the bat. But 3 weeks leading into the fight, the guy's giving up 5 samples a week, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, they said he got a 90, I want to say a 3 month or a 6 month exemption.
I never understood
what that meant.
It was supposed to be a 120-day exemption, basically saying, hey, he just got here. We haven't even, you know, basically his paperwork's still processing. So we're just going to let him do what he does for 120 days. But everybody, including myself, was freaking out online forums about it, saying, what? How does that work? I mean, look at him. The guy looks like the guy seriously looks like his piss is so hot it melts the cup twice. I mean, look.
Oh, yeah.
People don't look like that. I mean, you don't look like the Juggernaut from X-Men. You don't. I mean, I don't. I mean,
no, that's not natural muscle.
No, I mean, you look at that. But the thing is, but then if you roll back on the tape a little bit and you look at pictures of him, they show his junior high wrestling photo, and it's like, if I was a parent, I would never let my kid against that thing on the mat. It's like, you're going to wrestle that mutant over there. No, we're just going to concede that one. He can have it. And
he's freaking toxic Avenger.
Seriously. I mean, like, you know, he's got those close-set eyes. I mean, he looks like he, you know how some people live in a nuclear wasteland? He looks like he was living in, like, a TRT wasteland. Like, somehow the steroids infected his water supply from, like, a young age. And then I love the revelation he came out with. He said something like, I've always been a bully, you know, in high school. And I was like, I could have told you that. That crew cut and that perma scowl on his face. I mean, the guy looks like there's not a locker big enough to shove humanity into.
Pro-mag forehead.
Seriously, the guy looks like he's a ball-peen hammer. Like, I mean, I look at him, it's like, you know, it's so easy to picture Brock Lesnar, like, taking all of your money, not just your lunch money, but, like, your dad's dinner money, too. Just, like, I mean, you picture that guy, like, you know, like, your kid gets roughed up, and the dad's like, well, I'm going to go over there and sort this out, and, like, on your way there, Brock Lesnar beats your ass and takes your dad's money, too. I mean, seriously, it's wrong. Like, so, yeah, you know, he looked good, and rumor mill says that he will be there at the UFC in Cleveland to call out Stipe Miocic after he wins. Punishes Alistair Overeem. So, are we seeing the return of Brock Lesnar? I mean, entirely? Is he going to be able to juggle WWE and UFC?
Hell yeah. And you know,
he didn't really make any bones about it. He took this last fight for the money, you know, and I think being able to win was just a bonus. But, you know, word around the campfire is he got $2.5 million just for the fight, and, you know, plus whatever he's going to get for whatever he's going to get for pay-per-view points. And also word around the campfire is that he's getting a much bigger cut than everyone else, like maybe a couple of bucks per pay-per-view, and if that's the case, he's probably going to make another $2.5-3 million.
Well, according to Daniel Cormier, when he heard Brock was on the card, he was already booked to fight Jones, he cried, called him, and said thank you. Because he gets a cut of that pay-per-view. He gets a cut of that pay-per-view.
Absolutely. Now, he just got his steak just got juicier.
Now, thinking about that, going back to it, I mean, the biggest surprise for everybody was that John Jones at the 11th hour was out.
Yeah, this happened last week or the week before, 2 weeks before.
Right,
I don't think anybody would have been too surprised. Right
after the show, after I'm sitting here talking like a moron, saying, oh, thank God, thank Buddha, thank whatever freaky crap Tom Cruise believes in.
Yeah,
nobody's gotten hurt and that everybody's okay. Screw you.
That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ giving you a smackdown for mocking them like that. So,
I am
thanks,
saying,
Josh.
Man.
thanks, Josh.
It's all my fault. It's
John
all my
Jones,
fault.
Baby Jeff Mama Nowitzki. Says thanks.
Jeff Nowitzki, who I like to call the agent of the devil, you know, in charge of USADA, in charge of the UFC's anti-doping program. I mean, I wish I was in charge of the doping program where I administered the juice to these athletes. But he's over, you know, I mean, that guy just, again, I mean, I hate him. I seriously do. I cannot stand him. He takes people that I look at as heroes in this world, and he brings them down to lower than dirty. He got Lance Armstrong. He got Barry Bonds. He's getting
Hey, come on. Are you serious? Surely you jest, Josh. They're doing it to themselves.
I can't have heroes, Kane. I'm not allowed to have heroes. Screw you. I can have heroes.
I can't.
Have
heroes, but they're not. They're not heroes. And don't blame the
messenger.
They're heroes
if they're my heroes. They're heroes if they're my heroes.
Okay.
Like, exactly. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I'm, you know, this guy seems like he's single-handedly crusading to ruin my heroes. Like, he's going around, I mean, busting BJ Penn for an IV. Kill yourself. Kill you. Jeff Nowitzki, I know you're listening right now. Seriously, jump in front of a truck. Like, I mean, I wish I could take Barry Bonds' baseball bat and beat him with it.
God, man.
Seriously. I mean, what, dude? For real.
That's racist.
Against Jeff Nowitzki. That is racist.
John Jones ruined UFC 2, and he didn't ruin it. He cost some people some money, himself included. So, well, listen, you know, their timing has been odd anyway. Like, remember the last when he tested positive for cocaine? He tested positive in like March, and they announced it after the fight. You know, and I'm assuming that you know Zuffa wanted to keep it quiet so they could sell more pay per views. You know, but. The timing's always odd, you know, but hey, USADA's like NCAA, they're going to be like, everybody's going to hate them, they're going to be the villain, and hey, don't hate the player, hate the game.
I really do, that's a point that I really do agree with right there, is the fact this sample was taken on June 16th, and it just comes to light that it tested hot, and then they're like,
yeah, horseshit.
Well, let's get the B sample. Let's do the B sample. Well, the B sample took 3 days to test. What's up? Like, where is the disconnect? You can get the B sample done 3 days before the fight. Like, the B sample was tested, and he was hot again on Saturday. But you can't do anything else. I mean, he's over there crying like Jimmy Swagger, you know, like
crying like a little bitch with a. He's kind of like a little bitch with a skinny knee.
But dude,
it's Kyle on John Jones
like
night. Call in, guys. Okay, wait. For you guys listening that want to call in, you can do that, 914-205-5538. Once more, that's 914-205-5538. Back to you, John.
Remember, your takes cannot suck, and you are completely open to ridicule. And if the guy from Alabama calls back last week talking about watching gay porn on YouTube, he's more than welcome to. I'm sure Kane will discuss the finer points of man love. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
But again, Weibel is John Jones' manager, right?
Matt Weibel was first manager.
Same company. I mean,
right.
I'm sure.
We need to get Weibel on here and find out what the hell's going on, man.
Exactly. That's not. So, Weibel, if you're out there
Weibel, you got some spanning to do.
I know, Weibel. I mean, seriously, that's your client, and you're over there screwing around? I mean, but he's on. So he's up there holding the press conference, and the press conference said absolutely nothing. He's up there crying like a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Daniel Cormier. I know I hate you, but I'm so sorry to the UFC. The thing is, yeah. Melky Tawa, his manager, gets out there and says, John Jones lost north of $10 million on his fight. He says, eight figures. I would be crying so badly. Oh, dude. I mean, seriously, I'd be doing more than that. But the thing is, this isn't a first for John Jones. And Chael Sonnen was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast this week and regaled us with the wonderful tale of John Jones.
Oh, man, that was crazy. Tell everybody about it, Josh. This is great.
Now, this comes from many people who trained at Jackson's have told Chael the story. It was known. And this was the reason that Chael said that the Rumble Johnson fight with John Jones would not happen, which it didn't, is that USADA, this is right before you had to disclose your whereabouts to USADA. And it was him and the coaches over at Jackson's in Albuquerque training, and they saw the USADA guy come in. So John Jones hid under the cage. And they said, you know, and so when they come in, like, hey, where's John Jones at? You know, and they're like, oh, John Jones, yeah, we don't know John Jones. So, you know, everybody's playing stupid. They don't know where John Jones is. So the USADA, you know, like, oh, he'll probably be back later. No one's full. Well, he's not going to be back later because he's hiding under the cage. You know, they're just waiting for this guy to leave. So the guy's like, what else? He's going to be back later. I'm just going to hang out and wait. This is in the middle of the day. John Jones was under that cage for 8 hours till they shut down the gym. So, I mean, you got a 6'4" dude with a 7-foot wingspan, champion of the UFC, arguably best half-a-pound fighter in the world, laying under the cage. I mean, anybody knows it's under the cage. It's nothing good under there. So he's laying there. So that you sort of found out, like, they heard that, yeah, he was there, he was under the cage, so now they're pissed. And they tried to get a warrant to go into Jackson's because they figured, well, if he's under there for 8 hours, he probably took a leak. So they want to go over there and, like, DNA test for piss under John Jones, like, figuring John Jones
good
probably
God.
Pissed his pants. Could you imagine, I mean, if I got around and Jackson's like, hey, we're going to swab your thing for piss, what do you do? I think you go one of two ways. You either clean it up really good with some bleach, or I invite everybody in the gym to take a piss under the cage. That's what I would do.
Right.
They swab it out. Oh, John Jones is pregnant? What? Like, I mean, that was just so crazy. But they say that because USADA hates two things. Number one, when somebody tells them that the test, that they're liars and that the test is not legit. And then, and, you know, and number two, they don't like people who get over on them. So after that, he was the target. So that's probably has to do with the timing of this whole thing, is that John Jones was a target. According to rumors, he was busted for two separate estrogen blockers.
Right.
So that's to, you know, so coming off a cycle to get you started, you know, to get your testes started back up. There's no way they put those estrogen blockers into his supplements. And John Jones, like, I've taken the same supplements all my life, even though he just got a new supplement sponsor. That's G18 Nutrition.
Yeah.
And then, so the first thing they say is, number one, John Jones, you're fired. Number two, USADA, please come check out our complete line of supplements, and you will find they are estrogen blocker free. So I, you know, John Jones, again, through his stupidity, has ruined another UFC event. I don't think Uncle Dana is going to be very happy.
Right, well, let's talk about repercussions. He's going to be... I'm hearing 2 years, but nothing official yet. I think that might be the minimum, right? Or how is this going to shake out?
2 years is the minimum technically, but they expect everybody to get the minimum because it truly is his first infraction with a PED before an enhancing drug. I mean, he's tested positive for weed and blow, but that's just those are just considered drugs of abuse, or as I call them, a good Friday night.
That was out of competition testing too.
Well, technically, the June 16th was an out of competition test too. Like, because it wasn't that because it was that technically lands as out of competition, but still, he's still gonna get busted.
So he's got, 90 days, 90 hours, in competition, right?
Yeah. So he's going to get – but so the thing is they're going to say suspended for 2 years, and they're going to go back to – they're going to go back to June 16th, I believe, is when – I think it's from the date of infraction. But that means he's allowed to apply for the license then. I mean, Nick Diaz hasn't even gotten his license back for weed, and they called that one a draw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now there have been false positives in the UFC before. Tim Means had tainted supplements. Yoel Romero, even though you look at him and he looks like he's jacked.
Oh, God.
He fought that for tainted supplements, and both those guys, they tested the supplements that they had, and they did test positive for banned things in the supplements. So they gave them both 6 months. Frank Mir is a really interesting case right now because he said, hey, I didn't take anything. And all his testing, it's crazy. They tested him before he tested positive, like going into the competition, and he tested for nothing. They tested him after. He tested for nothing. It's a sample that came in between, and it's really traced levels, and he is attributing it, this is no BS, to tainted kangaroo meat when he was at the UFC in Australia. And they might
what?
Be buying it. Kangaroo meat. Like, in Australia, that they feed those things so many weirdo hormones.
How does that shit put PEDs in your system?
Well,
really?
The thing is, the hormone levels, because of all the growth hormone they give animals like that, that's why they told the fighters when they're overseas, don't eat meat. For China and other places like that, and they don't know what they're going to do with Frank Mir. He's asked for his release from the UFC, but everybody I've heard of and even people I know who have trained with Frank Mir said, the guy's an open book. He won't ever lie to me. So, you know, he's saying, hey, and they're saying that the math doesn't add up, that he's
– Yeah, and quite honestly, I don't see – you know, you look at Mir, you don't think PEDs, really. I mean, you know – there have been times. I mean, I'm not saying he's never. Obviously, he's probably done some back when he was. You know, he was shredded there for a while. But I don't see PEDs. I mean, but I'm not buying any kangaroo meat. Kangaroo tank.
You know, there's so many people I look at and go, yeah, he's not on PEDs and he tests hot. And I look at other guys and like a Lesnar or something like that. Dude's definitely on PEDs and somehow he pisses clean. So. I don't really think I'm not qualified. That's why I would not be doing the anti-doping. But again, if the UFC or Ryzen or ONE FC or Bellator wants to do a doping program, I'd love to run it and tell them what supplements I think would work best for their athletes to entertain us the most. Open invite to all of you. Like, you know, if you want to
I think PEDs ought to be mandatory and provided by the promotion. I mean, how much better fights you'd see?
Performance enhancing. That's what I want. We all want to see an enhanced performance. I mean, I don't want detrimental things to them. I don't want, come on now. Like, if we had performance enhancing drugs, we could bring back the days of the 8-man tournament.
Wouldn't that be great?
We could do. I'm telling you, man. I mean, speaking of that, you know, we've gone from the 8-man tournament, you know, a $2 million investment by Dana and the Fertittas has now become $4 billion. But before we get to that, we will have a word from our sponsors. Shane, who would you like to give a shout-out to?
I would like to give a shout-out to the best food. My school, Ole Miss BJJ, we train at Oxford CrossFit, which is another one of our sponsors. We train Monday through Friday, 6:30. Gi and no gi. If you want to learn some good jiu-jitsu, only place around town, only place in this area is Ole Miss BJJ.
Awesome. I'd like to give a shout out to Lincoln Area Fit Club. That's where I work out with the kettlebells. My man Austin looks like a cross between Jeff Spicoli and Owen Wilson, but he'll definitely make you stronger. And
cool.
I'd like to give a shout out to Ashley Schaefer BMW for the dope whip they've provided for us.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It feels good to roll into the Fight Fix studio, you know. I mean, we got baby seal skin couches. We got gold leaf on the walls.
Man.
We've got, you know, naked pictures of B. Arthur. I mean, it's the best. I mean, but able to roll up here in a brand new 7 Series BMW drop top makes you feel like more of a guy. Thanks, Ashley Schaefer.
Ashley Schaefer, BMW.
Yeah. And, of course, as always, Chico's Bail Bonds. Thanks for keeping the brother on the streets. And,
that's right.
Then, you know, Parrish Brothers Plumbing has been laying the pipe in trailer parks for years.
They do it. They've been laying in the trailer park for years. That's right. And they no job is too little or too small.
And they're not afraid to go to use the back door if you let them. And they don't always have to come in the front. They will go through the back.
And, that's right.
It's hard to find a plumbing company that specializes in trailer parks, but those dudes do it and they do it well, swinging long and low with those pipes.
And they make meth too. See them for all your plumbing and meth needs. They make a lot of meth.
Hey, man, I mean, Ben and Jacob know what's going on. They'll call him the big tuna for nothing. Like, so, again, now we've got the sponsors out of the way. Now,
right.
It's one of those things I think about, like, you know, what would you do, Kane, if you just had FU money? Just, man, I don't need you people. Like, I don't need any people. I'll buy my own planet and crush you with it.
What would I do?
Yeah.
You mean, like, FU, like the station casino money or Donald Trump money? Like
No. I'm talking
supply.
The station casino money times two. I mean, like,
oh, okay.
Your net worth was 1.8 and I just made it 3.6. I mean, just like, money enough to buy North Korea.
Well, if I had that, here's what I would do, man. I would, if you had asked me this 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, it would have been a no-brainer. I would have started a huge MMA promotion and maybe not try to put the UFC out of business, but to give them a run for their money. Now that I've seen that, MMA had such a huge rise in popularity, now there hasn't been a decline, but there's been kind of a plateau, and I probably wouldn't want to get in and spend big money on a sport that's not rising. But what I would do is maybe have one or two just super shows where I would just throw insane money at fighters to get them to. I mean, I would catch a guy coming up to the end of the UFC contract, and I would like double or triple whatever the UFC could offer for a 5-fight contract, one fight or something. You know, they would have no choice but to sign with me, and I would just make some super fights, man.
I love that. I agree with that. I would also work in spending your money. Like, I would do things like get Lightning Lindbergh out of prison to rematch Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, exactly. Paying Van Halen to play at his graduation party, you know? It would just be like a private party
exactly.
For me and my friends to watch these great fights, you know?
Exactly. That would be my goal. I would seriously try to get people, like find a team of lawyers to get Joe Sun Moon out of prison for a night and reenact UFC fights. Just like,
better call Saul.
Exactly. I would, like, you know, you and I have talked about this. Like, if I hit, like, the Powerball, I would like to have, like, dream matches at my house. Like,
yeah.
You know, just set it up in my own, in my garage where, you know, Fedor fights Hickson. You know, like,
yeah.
And just be like, hey, it's $10 million for the both of you. I'm the only guy here who's going to film it, and I will just use it for my own personal stuff.
Like, that's right.
You know, I mean, you know, because that's how much we love the sport. We really do. And that's, I mean, it's disgusting because my wife will tell you, I forget birthdays, I forget holidays, but I don't forget fights. I'm like Rain Man, except for I'm not Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
I'm just socially awkward with a good memory. Like, but yeah, I would... $4 billion that the UFC sold for. I mean, what the hell? I mean, the UFC bought the UFC. You know, I mean, the UFC was sold from Semaphore Entertainment Group to Zuffa for $2 million.
Million, yep.
Then they ran it into the ground, spending $60 million on fights, like, you know, and seeing no return on investment. And then they made some stupid reality show that nobody would fund, so they funded it themselves.
Yep.
And that stupid reality show became The Ultimate Fighter, which was an awesome show until it became a stupid reality show again after probably season 5.
Right.
Like,
it accomplished the prescribed goal by then. It had shot. I think MMA from a freaking freak show like I've seen from its inception here to seeing it get legitimate.
I think there were two major events that led to that. Yeah, obviously the Zuffa buyout and Dana White and the reality. Before that was when, for the first time, Larry Hazard, the
athletic commissioner.
Yeah, he really helped push to get the sport sanctioned there, and that was the very first state sanctioned MMA fight.
Yeah, they had the Meadowlands. That's where they almost set Pete Ortiz on fire.
Yep.
That was the last time the UFC ever used pyro, because they almost set Tito on fire, their champion. And when somebody asked Dana White, how come you guys don't use like pyro?
I thought that was at Trump Taj Mahal, the first one.
Meadowlands, I believe, is where they almost set Tito on fire. But again, you see how these things that go on. I mean, with the UFC, I mean, yeah, who'd ever thought? I mean, Kane, back when you were fighting in the late 90s in people's freaking basements for nickels, did you ever think you'd see it on ESPN? I mean, like, were there announcements?
Hey, no, I didn't, but, you know, Dave signed some of the guys that were getting it that early. We sat around and talked, like, man, if we had money, we would do it like, we would put it, make an ESPN show where it'd be on every week, you know, like fight night, Friday night fight. You just have fights, and that'd lead up to a big pay-per-view, you know, kind of like they do wrestling. And they were like, man, if that could ever take off, you know, that would be great. But it'd take some money, you know, and it would. And it, even before it got sanctioned, I always said it's going to take some money.
You got to have them deep pockets, man. Like,
So lo and behold, you know, that was kind of the beginning of it, and then Dana White, man, love him or hate him, and I hate him. I don't hate him, but I think he's a self-aggrandizing asshole. But he definitely has made the right decision. He's been a pretty good steward of the sport, you know, because those of us that have been around for a long time.
I think he's been an amazing steward of the sport. I mean, I love that term. You know, I mean, the man has protected MMA. He's grown it. He's done the political wheeling and dealing. I mean, the thing is, John McCain helped shut MMA down in pretty much every state. Every state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By calling it human cockfighting.
Yeah, well, it's so easy to do on a sport that's not established yet, and a sport that, you know, doesn't really offer anything to say the economy or anything. It's just a little, you know, boxing. Might not call it human cockfighting, but you know what? Boxing has, you know, anywhere from 2 to 10 deaths a year that you hear about, that you know about, you know, and MMA to that point had never had a death, never. And, you know, percentage wise, it's much safer than boxing, but boxing has been around so long. It's got old, you know, Budweiser money.
It's woven into the fabric of the American soul.
Boxing, exactly. And
you know what I mean? Like, you can't
stamp that out.
We romanticize boxing. And I do. I absolutely adore boxing. I'm a fight fan. I mean, I tell people all the time, I love MMA. I've kind of been in for a long time with the sport, but at the same time, I'm a boxing nut. I watch the big fights. I watch the small fights, too. Anywhere there's two guys fighting, I like to see it. And, I mean, and it's one of those things. I mean, back in the day, the heavyweight champion of the world was considered the baddest man on the planet. I mean, they used to get 120,000 Americans to watch fights, man. 120,000 people show up to watch boxing. I mean, now they don't draw anything like that. And that's the thing is, I mean, that MMA, I mean, where John McCain called it human cockfighting, the McCain Act came out, they shut it down, and then the hypocritical a-hole shows like, oh, yeah, I was a boxer at the Naval Academy. If I was around now, I'd have been doing MMA. It's like, dude, And then in the strangest turn of events, did you hear this? This just isn't enough today. Dana White is going to speak at the Republican National Convention.
At the Republican National Convention, yeah. That's good,
man. Tom McCain from the Republican Party tried to shut down MMA, and Dana's like,
Josh, I think we have a caller. Hello, caller, you there? 601-919?
Mike Kane.
What's up, man? Who am I talking to?
Yo, this is D-Ball.
D-Ball, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Nothing, just doing a little show, man. Were you calling to listen, or do you have a question?
No, I'm listening.
Right on, okay.
Do you want to come up with a question?
Let me do this, man. Hey, I'll give you a quick introduction. This is D-Ball. I call him D-Ball. His name's Duane Buchanati. How do you pronounce your Indian ass last name?
Buchanati.
Buchanati.
All right.
D-Ball, everybody. Let's get D-Ball. Hey, man, thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you back on hold, but you can continue to listen.
All right.
See you, Otto.
All right, see you.
D-Ball, is he jacked? Is he on, like, DECA or something? I mean, that'd be cool.
No, man, no.
You got to call him D-Ball.
I just call him D-Ball because he's an idiot guy. And it's one on Booch and Danny. And so I just call him D-Ball.
Now
American,
he calls himself
though,
D-Ball. That's the way it works in America. We you come on, you choose a name we can't pronounce, and it's like, nope, you're now D-Ball. Like it's
yeah,
you should have
exactly.
worked at Ellis Island. You should have worked at Ellis Island.
Yeah.
People coming through like, what's your name? Brecca? Yeah, Brown. Yep, Brown. Next.
Yep. Hey, so what do we know, Josh? What do we know about this? This conglomerate that has bought the UFC, IMG, they like are a freaking insurance conglomerate, and I mean they're just they do a little bit of everything, right? And that's what kind of concerns me is that.
Well, they are a sports marketing firm, Brass. I mean, they hold it's the WME and IMG, and WME is the William Morris Endeavor, you know, from the William Morris Agency.
Right.
It's become now the William Morris Endeavor, and IMG is a lot of private banking, but they also own. Most of, like, the naming rights and stuff, like, they represent a lot of Division I NCAA programs, like Michigan, Nebraska. They all, if you want to market with those guys, you have to pay IMG. I know this from personal experience with restaurants marketing to some of these Division I programs. I mean, so
You know what I know from personal experience? That we have 7 minutes and 30, we have 7 minutes and 30 seconds left. On air. That's what I know from personal experience.
Jeez, time flies. You're having fun. You're welcome.
I know it, man.
Like,
I know it. Dude, yeah, so I don't know if you have the same concern that I do, that probably any grassroots fan has, that, all right, you know, the sport over the last 16 years has been owned and monitored closely by basically a small group of friends who are MMA fans going into it. Sports industry is a big glamma firm that does a bunch. You know, yeah, they specialize in sports marketing, and they even own at least one major league franchise, like a baseball team or something.
And they also have interest in the English Premier League. I mean, it's they own.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a sports, flavor there, but
and IMG represents Ronda Rousey too. That's her agency. Like there's
yeah, well, you know what?
There's a lot going on.
Hey, what's his name? Keith Blumenshine has seen all the Ultimate Fighters too, but that doesn't mean he's ready for the UFC. So, there's not an
MMA.
You know,
how dare you say that?
Like I said, once Dana White goes, and he'll go, he won't.
He's got a 5-year contract, and he's got a 9%. His salary is 9% of net profit. And going by the UFC's number last year, that would put him somewhere around like, what they can guesstimate about $18 million a year. Plus, he gets the buyout on his ownership stock.
Yeah, he's getting $400 million buyout, right?
Yeah, like 380 something. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, 40 or 400. It's a lot of freaking money. He's getting that from the buyout.
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna buy a lot of stuff. I mean, so. Again, I think I'd like to think that with Dana and Joe Silva still going to be there, and these guys are going to have a lot more Hollywood connections. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see the UFC go a lot more mainstream. Hopefully they get rid of this Reebok deal.
Yeah, that is total BS.
But I don't think getting rid of the Reebok deal is going to lead to anything more than the Nike deal. I mean, like, because...
Well, okay, yeah, but you know what? Maybe they'll have... Maybe the players will have – the players, the fighters have some representation. And I'm not insinuating they should get a union, although they should be a union. But maybe the people were unified on their decision before they agree to anything, you know. Because if they bound together and like, no, we don't like this BS deal, you know, because the Reebok deal, you know, Dana just took it and said, here, you're going to you know, you're going to take it and you're going to like it, you know. But lot of them band together and you're like, no, we're not going to fight if, you know, because that was basically just indentured servitude, man. I mean.
Well, the problem is somebody will fight. You know, they're not united enough in a way. I mean, you're not, you know, there's nobody who's going to foot the bill while they wait it out because somebody else will come through.
Yeah,
and the way the marketing machine works, they can turn any scrub into a highlight reel. Like, look at this guy, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah. But,
I mean,
but if you have
and 90% of the fans will eat it up.
Yeah, but if you have a nice, good core of good that are allowed to go to Bellator, you know, that'd be a good chance for Bellator to say, hey, we'll let you have any sponsorship you want. That is Bellator's ace in the hole. Should they ever get themselves into a position to use that bargaining? Well, Bellator doesn't have to have any money to allow them to have sponsorships. Bellator can make money, a little money off that.
No, that's Bellator's hook right now. Is you can be anybody's sponsor you want. I mean, back when the UFC has always been – Dana White, I use this as an example, always hated the condom depot on the back of spider shorts.
There should be some guidelines, you know. They have to approve it, but it's not like, you know, you got to pay a $10,000 licensing fee to the USC.
They came up with a $50,000 licensing fee. And think about that when you're a sponsor, let's say, you know, Michael Caine's contracting. You like this one fighter, and you want to hand him 5 G's just to put your name on the banner. Yeah, sure, you really just want to give him $5,000 because, you know, not everybody who's watching the UFC is like, oh, I got to go find Michael Caine's contracting. But you do it because you love him and you want him to be represented. And, you know, you put a picture up in the office and it's all well and good. But the thing is, the UFC comes back like, okay. Like, you know, the UFC's like, yeah, now give us 50 G's. You gave him 5, give us 50.
Right. Yeah, it's a joke, man. And I guess there were some intentions there to raise the profile, you know, to say, yeah, we only have this level. But I agree.
Well,
you're knocking Mom Paul Kettle, you know, completely out of the picture. And lots of guys, you know, who was it Stitch Man that, you know, was his company, let him wear it on his vest, and then all of a sudden they said he can't, and it was,
BJ Penn.
He lost a lot of money, and then lost his job for speaking out about it.
BJ Penn was sponsored by Ruka, which is owned by Pete and Tenor, they make the most awesome gear, but it's very pricey. And BJ Penn, it's a lifestyle brand for guys who skate and surf and stuff. And BJ Penn, but they also sponsored Fedor. That pissed off Dana, because PM Tenor, the owner, is just a crazy MMA fan. They sponsored Fedor.
Right.
That pissed off Dana. Dana said, no more Ruka gear in the cage, period. BJ already had the shirts made. This is right for the UFC in Memphis. Dana said, okay, well, we're going to make you wear this MMA gear over here. We're going to pay all the sponsorship money you would have had, but you're going to have to wear this shirt. BJ had all these shirts printed, had them shipped to Memphis before they even got canceled. I bought a shirt from BJ's mom at the Red Lion Hotel. So I have one of my most prized possessions. I have the illegal BJ Penn shirt. I wore it to the event. I mean, it's
nice.
I mean, it's just one of those things, like,
you're,
the UFC would always...
Just a
while. I believe you mean fanboy. Like, that's all I am, man. That's all I am in MMA, is an absolute fan. I don't care if I'm doing post fights, I'm commentating, I'm judging, I'm matchmaking. I do everything because I love it. God knows we're not
going to do it. Me, dog. I do it for the cash, man. I do it for the money.
When you're making that Michael Caine game,
I know there's lots of money. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the big deal right there. I mean, but again, we do this podcast because we love the sport. We're talking. I mean, you and I have these conversations multiple times a week. I mean, like, this is just letting people listen to what comes out of our stupid heads.
Say goodbye, Josh. We got 10 seconds left.
This has been the best 45 minutes of your week. You're welcome.
Welcome. See you next time, boys and girls.
I got jobs to do. Where y'all going?
That was
is there anything in Mexico to drink?
Not at all.
Okay, no, I don't want to. No, I'll just, no, I'll get some drink. I thought it might be COVID. Or,
hello.
Oh, sorry, girl. Sorry, girl. They dead? Why'd you do that? I'd have to slit my wrist if I voted for Clinton, period. But if I voted for Trump, comma, I would probably just run to the shower and crumple in a sobbing mess trying to scrub the filth off of me, period. Banging, slamming. Oh, it's the female equivalent of the pompadour, and it's horrible. Didn't look good on men, and don't look good.
Hello?
It says like 7. Yeah, quite a drop from my last week.
It's all screwy, I think, at that. I'm not seeing anywhere where live listeners we have.
They showed us having like 6 or 7 last week, and that's crazy because we had like 80 listens, and I know a lot of them have listened since then, but. Still, I mean, there were more people. I mean, even count the people that called in. If they counted those as listens, those were. I mean, there was still more than that.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, just because. Right. Yeah. I don't want to advertise for them too much. I will mention it.
It is.
Ron White, yeah.
Well, yeah, and Jay Bird, too.
Jay Bird's fighting on that card.
Well, he was fighting some Rodney Oliver guy, and that guy got hurt or something, so now we don't know who he's fighting. Actually, he doesn't know a fight yet. I don't like that. When fighters fight runs out, I don't like to tell him.
No, we don't have anybody. They'll find somebody, though. They've got... At what, 2 weeks almost, they'll find somebody.
Yeah, they're just mailing it in, man. You know? Yeah. Well, Jay Bird sells pretty well, too. Yeah, and his.
I don't ever remember having him on there.
I think Livingston had him on. I should say, you getting us fucked up, Doc Fam? Hey, Fam, you getting?
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, you getting us fucked up with Livingston, Fam?
So, I take a peek into Madrigal like the Lotus. Now, Madrigal is based in Hanover, Germany, but they're what they call highly diversified. Industrial equipment, global shipping, maybe. Thank you.
Yes, Game is he playing? Does he think you're that night? It's not true if you have a grand opening. I was thinking huge party, balloons, bathtubs for the kids. Yeah, make a blast. I have to be. I go home and I have to face the eyebrows that do when they come in. You're away from better. Yeah, and it lately has moved and froze.
Thank you.
it's on me. We made this in the lab. So much on it. early on. Big one today. Order today. Eyes open. Mouth shut. Sure.